Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin first quarter 2017 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome to our quarter one 2017 conference call. I will take a few comments as usual to go through the results of the business, and then I will turn the microphone to our CFO, Mr. Petrone, that will take you through the numbers. Before starting with my comments on the quarter, I would like to remind you that we will have, well, today, actually, the board of directors has approved our three-year plan, and the plan is going to be presented to the investor community in Milan on June 26th. Our investor relations office is going to reach all of you with the logistic details in the forthcoming weeks. Now, let's move to the Q1 results. First, I think we all need to remember that quarter one 2017 does not compare apple to apple to quarter one 2016, and this is because, as we have discussed already in the last two quarters, we have the DiaSorin molecular component of the business now that was not there in 2016. I will make some reference to a like-for-like situation where I deem it necessary. Otherwise, all the other comments are going to be done again comparing 2017 to 2016. As far as the revenues are concerned, in the first quarter of 2017, we grew by 24%, give or take, at constant exchange rate. This is a result of a good performance achieved in all regions by Clea, and I will get more specific into that, as well as the fact that, again, we adopted the molecular products coming from the Focus acquisition. Just for your understanding, if we compare apple to apple, like-for-like growth in quarter one of our traditional business is 6.7%. Is in line with guidance that was provided last year vis-à-vis the 2017 performance. Now, let's deep down into technologies. Let's discuss first Clea ex vitamin D revenues. These products grew 11% at constant exchange rate, and this has been what we have seen historically with this product line. Again, I think main drivers in this case would be the adoption of certain panel of assays that we have launched and developed successfully in the previous quarters. I would like to mention two. One is the gastrointestinal panel, where now we are getting critical mass. We have over 200 customers in Europe, and we are enjoying then the success of building this critical mass of assays on our install base. Second one is our 125 vitamin D assay, which now, this is the third year after launch, is getting maturity, notwithstanding the fact that we have penetrated, we estimate almost 90% of the total available market. Now, as far as vitamin D is concerned, we have vitamin D this quarter is flat compared to last year. As I said before, we should not get worried if on a quarterly basis, vitamin D is down 5%. We should not get excited if it is flat, because a lot of this vitamin D trending on a quarter-to-quarter basis is a combination of declining prices, which we continue to see, however, fluctuating increase in volumes And this is exactly what happened in this quarter. We have a favorable effect on volumes that has compensated the decline in pricing. Net-net, again, flat vitamin D for us. As far as placements of Liaison XL, this has been a very successful quarter. We had more than 180 systems installed throughout all the geographies. Now we have more than 3,000 Liaison XL installed in the field. And part of these 185 units are the ones that have been installed and activated in the U.S. in order to complete the layout of the very large accounts we have gained at the end of last year that has started to test for our infectious disease products. Now, if we go into the geographies first, before I comment on the DiaSorin molecular business, if we look at the geographies and we start from Europe, Europe had a very good quarter, is double-digit growth compared to last year. And this is fundamentally driven by the fact that in Germany continues to grow high single digit. I remind you that Germany is the single largest European market for gastrointestinal. Therefore, our success in that space reflects into a good performance of this country. France is bouncing back after the debacle of vitamin D, which happened last year. And so France is back to grow to growth again. It grew almost 8% thanks to infectious disease and prenatal screening and vitamin D 125 tests. So good in a consolidating market like France. Last but not least, which was a surprise to us, Italy did very good this quarter. It grew 1%, whereas, as we have discussed, we were expecting negative growth coming from Italy. And this is the result of the fact that volumes stabilized, and we started to saw that also at the end of last year. And therefore, we continue to be cautious about Italy. However, we believe that it could offer some positive surprise by year end. Now, moving away from Europe into North America, clearly, if we look at just at the numbers per se as reported, there has been an incredible growth, 59% at constant exchange rate. However, I think for clarity, we need to distinguish between the effect of molecular versus the traditional business. Our traditional business grew close to 3%, the immunoassay with the usual combination of some declining vitamin D and growing infectious disease business. As far as the rest of the growth, clearly is fueled by the fact that now we have adopted the molecular diagnostic products and we enjoy the full extent of the catalog in the U.S. I will comment separately about molecular overall. Asia-Pacific, good growth, 10%. China clearly is a good contributor, 22% growth in the quarter, again driven by CLIA. As far as China is concerned, there have been some comments to the fact that the Chinese, with the new double invoicing policy, are really pushing the market to change the way the current distribution is occurring, and therefore we expect that in the next quarters we're going to see changes in the market. We're going to see consolidation of distributors, And therefore, usually when these changes come, you expect unpredictability of this market. So we are working in order to adopt a distribution network which is in line with what the government expects to see by the end of this year. However, again, China for us is a growth engine. 22% is there to demonstrate that is a very, the JSON Excel is a very well received and very successful platform in this geography. Finally, Latin America, where we grew 30%, and this is fundamentally a consequence of the very strong performance of Brazil and Mexico. In Brazil, we grew almost 20%. In Mexico, we grew almost, over 30%. So, and again, this is the result of the fact that the market that Brazil stabilized and we're doing very well in the private lab space where we have refocused the business. And in Mexico, we enjoy the fact that with the new distribution and logistics system and with the new rules regarding public tenders, we now have what was open to us was the blood bank screening market, which we are able to capture with the JSON Excel products. Being the Mexican market very peculiar, there are the blood bank market not consolidated. There are over 500 blood banks of a smaller size where the JSON Excel perfectly fit. So very good result when it comes to Latin America. Now let's turn to back and discuss the molecular. Again, we cannot, we are not able to provide a comparison year on year simply because last year the business was not ours. In Q1, however, I have to report that as you have seen from other competitors, this was a very good flu season. And since we have a complete product line when it comes to flu, we also enjoy this very strong season. And certainly that was beneficial to the business. We continue to grow with following the same strategy that Quest, the previous owner, put in place, which is a series of specialty products in the area of testing of newborn and specialties. I remind you that one of the reasons why we decided to buy this business is because of the connotation of being a specialty business, which fits very well with our specialty menu in the infectious disease immunoassay. And last but not least, we have introduced the C. diff product, which has been a new addition to us. And we are starting to reap the benefit of the launch of this product. So in North America, the molecular line is growing double digit as we have expected. As far as ex-US is concerned, we have dedicated the first quarters for molecular to consolidate the distribution network that Focus had in place before. It was a distribution system made of small third-party distributors. We have renegotiated our contracts, and we have taken upon ourselves in Europe, in Australia, the direct distribution of the products within the diasporic subsidiaries. So I would say the engine now is ready in order for our organization to push this product line. We have hired a sales force in the European subsidiaries, and we're starting promotion of these products in the European markets. Now, moving away from sales into product development, there are two products that we have launched in this quarter. The first one is the FGF23, which is a specialty assay in the area of kidney diseases. We are running a significant number of clinical studies on promoting this assay. This assay is today under discussion for obtaining reimbursement in all the main European countries. And so far the investment has been an investment related to, again, promoting the use of these products with the current customer base, same customer base that is using PTH and all the other products that we have for kidney diseases. The second one, though, which is which I would like to point your attention to, is Zika, the Zika assay. We finally got from the FDA the emergency use authorization that allows the company to start promoting the assay in the U.S. with U.S. customers. And meanwhile, we are preparing to file a regular 510K, expecting that the agency sooner or later is going to ask the companies to move from the emergency use into, again, the regular regulatory approval system. For your reference, we estimate today that there are 100,000 tests of Zika for Zika assay done in the U.S. It is very difficult to understand the pattern. We will see. We will understand better about where the test goes during the summer season, because, as you know, this is related to the mosquitoes. You also know that there have been now several cases reported in the southern part of the United States. However, it's very, very difficult to understand what is going to be the testing guideline that medical associations and the CDC is going to recommend. For the time being, CDC recommendation is that after symptoms, to test for the first 14 days with PCR and after 14 days with an immunoassay. Let me remind you that today we are the only automated assay that has granted approval in the U.S., and we're in discussion with all the major labs to move away from the current ELISA assay that they have into the Liaison XL automated assay. So, again, stay tuned. I think we will have better visibility at the end of Q2 of what the potential for the assay can be. Now, I will turn the microphone to Mr. Pedrone, who will drive you through the numbers, and then we're going to have a Q&A session.
Thank you, Carlos. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. In the next few minutes, I'm going to walk you through the financial performance of DiaSorin during quarter one 2017. Before we start, let me please remind you again that we began reporting the focus business since May 2016, and so the perimeter of consolidation of Q1 17 is different from the one of 16. The comparison would be, let me say, kind of normalized starting from Q3 17. Said that, I would like to start with what I believe are the main highlights of the period. As we just said, as Carlos just said, we closed quarter one revenues in line with our full year guidance and with a material increase over 2016. This has been influenced by the mentioned different perimeter of consolidation and by the seasonality of molecular flu sales, whose peak is usually in Q1 and Q4. Q1 revenues growth, like for like, is solid and in line with the guidance, just a touch above 6.5%, actually 6.7%. The quarter closed with a very strong EBITDA, which grew at constant exchange rate by 30% compared to last year. As just said, this increase is the result of the different scope of consolidation and the seasonality of flu sales, plus some positive phasing on operating expenses, and most important, of our capability to confirm a strong profitability of the like-for-like business. The performance of the first quarter places us in the upper range of the guidance. Lastly, DiaSorin keeps confirming its ability to generate a very strong free cash flow, almost 44 million euro in the period, with a growth of more than 50% compared to 2016, which allowed us to close quarter one with a positive net financial position of about 114 million euro. Let's now go through the main elements of the P&L. Quarter one revenues at 157.5 million euro grew by 26.5% compared to last year. and by 24% at constant exchange rate. In the quarter, we have had a positive FX tailwind of about 3 million euros, mainly driven by the appreciation of the US dollar and Brazilian reais, just partially offset by the depreciation of the Chinese yuan and the British pound. As discussed during 2016 year-end call, let me please remind you that after the Focus acquisition, an appreciation of the US dollar of 1 cent against the euro means about 2 million euro more sales for the group. And when we released the guidance for 2016, the exchange rate we used as a reference was 1.11 dollar for a euro. Gross profit at almost 108 million euro grew by 26% or 22.2 million euro compared to last year, closing the quarter with a ratio of the revenues at 68.5%, which is basically in line with quarter one 2016, the difference being 30 basis points, and with the previous quarters. This is the result mainly of higher sales of specialty products. Carlo just mentioned vitamin D125 and stool testing on one side, and some positive effects from manufacturing efficiencies on the other, which almost completely offset the price pressure on Clea Me2 products and the slightly dilutive effects of the Focus business. Total operating expenses at about 56 million euro, or 35.6% of revenues, have increased by about 24% compared to quarter one 2016, whereas the growth at constant exchange rate was around 22%. Let me please remind you that, as we saw in Q4, and as we will see for the next few quarters, 3.3 million euro of the reported OPEX growth has been driven by the depreciation of the intangible assets, mainly know-how and customer list, coming from the Focus business acquisition. Net of this depreciation, the reported OPEX would have grown by 17%, and the ratio on revenues would have been 33.5% against 36.2% of quarter one 2016. This improvement is the result mainly of operating leverage driven by tight cost control and some phasing in expenses, which slipped to the following quarters. Quarter one other operating expenses at 2 million euro are lower than 2016 by half a million euro. Please remind that 2016 was affected by some non-recurring expenses, mostly driven by the cost associated to the Focus business acquisition. Quarter one EBIT at 50 million euro, or 31.7% of revenues, has increased compared to 2016 by 31%, or around 12 million euro. The tax rate at 32% is 130 basis points better than 2016, as anticipated during Q4 call. This variance is in line with our expectations and is mainly driven by the contribution to the taxable profit of the group of the different geographies in which we do business and by the reduction of the Italian corporate income tax rate from 27.5% to 24%, which took place starting from 2017. Net result at almost 33 million euro, or 20.9% of revenues, is higher than the previous year by 8.2 million euro, or 33.2%. Lastly, quarter one EBITDA at 62.5 million euro is better than last year by 15.3 million euro, or 32.4%. The variance at constant exchange rate is positive 30%, which is in line with the upper range of our full-year guidance. Quarter one reported EBITDA ratio of revenues of 39.7% is 180 basis points better than Q1 2016. This increase has been driven mainly by the following three factors. Number one, our ability to offset some price pressure suffered on mainstream products and slightly lower profitability of the Focus business, with, as said, more sales of high-value specialty products on one side and higher manufacturing efficiencies driven by increasing volumes, operational excellence initiatives, and tight cost control on the other side. As we said, all of these allowed us to close the quarter with a gross margin ratio pretty much in line with last year. Our constant effort aimed at delivering operational leverage through a careful cost control, plus, as said, some favorable phasing of operating expenses, which allowed us to close the quarter with an OPEX ratio over revenues, excluding the focus in tangible depreciation, which is 270 basis points lower than 2016. Number three, as we said, some positive effects coming from the operating expenses. Let me now move to the net financial position and the free cash flow. The Assorin closed the period with a positive net financial position of €114 million and almost €173 million in cash. This is the result of what I discussed so far and is confirming again the ability of the Assorin to generate a strong cash flow. During the first quarter, the group has generated almost €44 million free cash flow compared to €28.4 million of 2016, with an increase of about €15 million or 53%. It is fair to say, though, that Q1 free cash flow has also benefited from some positive phasing of working capital and tax payments on top of the mentioned positive phasing of OPEX. Lastly, in view of the group's operating performance, the management confirms the 2017 guidance for both revenues and EBITDA, with a growth at around 11% at constant exchange rate. Now, let me please turn the line to the operator to open the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Maja Pataki with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. I will stick to three, if I may. The first one, Carlos, thank you very much for your update on Europe and Africa. You were highlighting the regions where you're doing significantly better than the market, yet all those markets were still growing in the single digits. So I was wondering which of the regions were actually growing double digit. Was that in Africa? Then my second question was with regards to organic growth or with regards to the focus impact. You were really kindly giving us an impact on organic growth for the group and also highlighting the impact on molecular. But I was wondering if you could give us an understanding of what the impact of X-Focus was on the ELISA growth. And then lastly, could you give us an update on the Italian patent box tax impact for 2017? Thank you.
I will start taking the patent box question, Maya. So, as I believe I said during the quarter four call, we started talking to the Italian tax authorities. It's very difficult to provide an estimate of when we will be done with this talking and we will get the ruling. We are confident we will get the ruling if we will get it by the end of 2017. This year we will account for the benefit of 15, 16, and 17 because we actually filed our ruling request in 2015. More than that is difficult to say. Just consider that the tax rate that you see in our Q1 numbers do not take into account any positive effect on the patent box, because as long as we will not get it, it's very difficult, it's impossible to book for it. Last information I can share with you is that if we will get it, as we are hopeful, the impact on our numbers will be give or take around 1-2 million per year of lower tax charges, which means that if we will get it by the end of 2017, you can account for a positive upside on our bottom line of anything from 3 to 6 million euro.
Okay, I will take the first two. When it comes to the Europe and Africa, I'm sorry, I understand I generated some confusion. So let me try to break down the numbers for you. If you take the like-for-like comparison for quarter one, you have give or take 6% growth for Europe. Six, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
So the 10% is including Focus?
The 10% is including the additional Focus business. Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Then when it comes to the Focus ELISA, okay, boy, this is quite complicated. But again, just to give you an understanding of what our, let me say, existing ELISA is doing. The ELISA, what we call ELISA RIA in quarter one was down by a couple of million, okay, which is give or take 10%. But this includes the fact that we've discontinued RIA, so this is the first clean quarter where we are not selling RIA any longer. And so if you ask me, how is your ELISA business doing in absence of this RIA effect, I would say the Murex business is flattish, maybe going up. The rest of the ELISA business is probably declining double digit. The net effect of our ELISA business is probably that is declining, I would say, 3-4% per year, give or take. And again, just for you to do some math if you need. And I think we answer to, I think we answer to the three questions, right?
Yeah, just thank you very much. That's very helpful, Carlo. Just to double check, because we were looking at, you know, the Focus numbers that you reported in Q4, they were closer to 19 million. And I was wondering whether we're just seeing a softer quarter for Focus, which doesn't really make sense with the flu season, or whether it's just been allocated not only to molecular but also to another business, basically. That was the question, whether you can confirm that then.
No, actually, the 90 million you're referring to is the overall business and not only the molecular part.
Yep.
Q1, by definition, is stronger also because, especially the, I'm talking about the Focus overall as a combination of their ELISA and their immuno and their molecular. It is stronger because of the fact that is the center of the flu season. So Q1 is always stronger than Q4.
Just to make sure you get it right, if you look at our report in the presentation we put on our website, the 18.2 million you see for Q1 is just a molecular sale. So it does not take into account the so-called classic business, which is mainly ELISA, right? So.
Could you just maybe give us an indication how much the total traditional Focus or old Focus business would be, just so we get a bit of a, you know, just so we can track the quarters a bit?
You know, it's what we can tell you is that overall the molecular business is growing double digits, as we said, and as we were expecting. And then we are starting with some cannibalization of ELISA business to clear business. So I believe it doesn't make a lot of sense to keep on tracking, you know, the previous business, the current business. It's just confusing. So
if I may add something to this, Maya, I think we're trying also ourselves to find a way to fairly represent the business, and starting from Q2 and more than anything starting Q3, we're going to have a fair comparison because the perimeter is the same, and so you don't have all this confusion. All said and done, wait until we have the investor meeting, because at that point we will have decided how to represent the numbers, and we're going to give better visibility on molecular versus the rest of the business.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Luigi De Bellis with Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you to take my question. Just two quick questions. The first one, could you give us more color about the so strong performance of instruments in Q1? And secondly, you have registered a very good performance for vitamin D in Q1. Do you think flat like for full year is reasonable? Thank you.
Yeah, let me start from the second one, which I already covered during my comment. No, as I said many times, and you should not get excited, nor you should start to to see negatives on a quarter result for vitamin D. We keep saying vitamin D again is because of is a net effect of pricing decrease and volume increase still should decline annually anything between 3% and 5%. Okay, this is our view. This quarter has been a good quarter for vitamin D. Volume were very robust, but next quarter you can have a 6% drop just on the quarter. I'm telling you, judging vitamin D on a quarterly basis is suicidal. Now, when it comes to instruments, we made 185, very strong. Keep in mind that some of it, 20 some systems, are related to the fact that we completed installations with these very large U.S. labs that has at this point then started performing infectious disease testing. Rest has been, we had a very strong quarter in China, as well as in some other geographies in Europe. I would say is, I would not, there's not a single geography under the spot. It's for us, as you've seen before, regular course of business.
Thank you.
The next question is from Alessandro Foggi with Banca Aletti. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. Three, if I may. The first one is on Zika. You mentioned that the guidelines, testing guidelines are not out yet. I would like to know if you have an idea or an expectation rather of the timing needed for that. China. You said there's a situation of adapting the network and your procedures and sales practice to new regulation. Added little about what you expect, so I would like to hear your view, expectation on how you expect things to continue into 2017, and if you see major obstacles, hurdles to the performance of your sales network. I think the third question is for the CFO. I would like to better understand what amount of OpEx has been shifted to the following quarters of 2017, if I may. I think that's all. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I will take the first two questions. When I said the Zika guideline is not there, I'm referring to the fact that there is a guideline vis-a-vis what is, as I said, what should be done when symptoms show up. And again, after symptoms in the first 2 weeks, you should use PCR to test the patient because antibodies are not necessarily present yet. After 2 weeks, you need to test for immunoassay because the window for the molecular test to work in this particular case is much shorter than other viruses. So the CDC made very clear what you should be testing for. The problem is how to implement testing. So, for example, I give you an example when it comes to prenatal testing for some of the prenatal infections like toxoplasmosis, cytomegalovirus. There is a guideline that says that once the woman is pregnant, then after the second month, then she has to be tested every 90 days for toxoplasmosis. And that gives an indication to the physician to what it should happen. In this particular case, the situation is more complicated because this virus is born by a mosquito. And in the mosquito population, you have good mosquitoes, regular mosquitoes, and mosquitoes infected with the virus. So if you are the big question on the table is, now I'm pregnant and I get bitten by a mosquito, what am I going to do? right? Because I cannot determine if that mosquito was good, bad, or ugly. So that is the uncertainty today that is on the market, and there is where today this is left to the local interpretation of physicians, so everybody is pretty much expecting an indication of how to behave and what to do.
Okay.
As said before, 100,000 tests is what we estimate to be the testing volume in the U.S. Today. As far as China is concerned, your question is concerned on China, China moves very rapidly. The double invoice policy, again, it has been intended to take a very fragmented situation where you have hundreds of small distributors covering provinces, cities, and so forth, and then helping the government to consolidate this network of small distributors into few large operators that can be companies the government can talk to and try to regulate. How this is going to happen and who are going to be the companies that will be chosen to be the consolidators rather than to be consolidated, we don't know. And so today we have a good network of distributors of good size. We've been always quite selective, so we believe that eventually our distribution network is gonna survive, and so we'll not need to change too much. However, it can be that our own distributors, some of them in the same provinces, will consolidate. And therefore, we are just waiting to see how the government will drive this, and then as a result of that, we will understand who are going to be the companies we need to do business with. Very difficult to prehend any move in China. We learn the hard way. You wait, see what happens, and then you act.
Okay.
Yeah, regarding the OPEX, it's what I can tell you is that if I look at our budget in terms of OPEX for Q1 2017, we were forecasting to be a couple of million higher, 1.5 to million higher, compared to how we actually closed Q1 17. So you can take that number as a ballpark number, but it's phasing more than anything else.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Maja Pataki with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead, madam.
Yeah, I have another two questions. First, on the number of Zika tests that you have given us, Carlo, do you have any visibility on how the development was? And when you talk about the 100,000 tests, are we talking Q1? Are we talking full year? Are we talking since last year's summer? Just to know what we're talking about. And then the second question relates to your partnerships that you have with Beckman and with Roche. Can you give us any qualitative statement on how revenues have performed from those partnerships? That's it. Thanks.
Okay. 100,000 tests is what we have accounted for. What we expect to see in 2017, if you take the major labs and if you take the public health labs, you take current volumes, you annualize, and you get to that magic number. Okay, so it's a company projection starting from current rates of, again, the major labs and public health, since we are heavily present in the big labs. In some of these public labs, this is the visibility that we are getting. How that volume will grow, as said before, very difficult to predict. It can be affected certainly by the fact that there's going to be a guideline issue. Your second question was on
partnership.
The partnership. Yes. As far as the partnership with Beckman in China today. Going by memory here, I cannot give a precise number because we have confidentiality with them, but I would like to say there are less than 50 systems that have been installed in cooperation with Beckman. And again, I cannot give you a precise number because it's confidential. but there is a rollout with projects that we have with them. And I have to say that year-to-date, the impact on, because of the size of our Chinese business, the impact of the business in terms of revenues is not material. However, we see the increasing rollout of placements. Okay, so if your question is, what do you, in your current 22% growth, what's the impact of Beckman? Still not material. As far as Roche is concerned, again, I cannot give you the precise numbers. However, I can say that we have between 20 and 30 projects ongoing to be discussed and to be awarded, some of which already awarded and where we have already installed our systems with Roche. But I can really not be more precise because of the confidentiality. Overall, if I may have a, if I may comment on this, I think that we see these two relationships have a complete different, let me say, connotation. We are seeing that the Roche relationship is defensive, more defensive than what we expected, meaning that certainly consolidation is happening in some of the large labs in Europe where we already had business. And therefore, this relationship is allowing us to take the business that would have been at risk to lose if another party would have won the business and then retain that portion of the business for many years. All these projects are 5-7 year contracts. The Beckman relationship is instead a complete different nature, is more new business, because we are not present in these very large Chinese hospitals, and therefore the business they win is a true business where we work with Beckman and we displace a competitor box. When Beckman is placing their power processor line, getting clinical chemistry and a regular immuno assay for oncology thyroid, then we get the hepatitis.
Great. Thank you very much. Can I just double check? Did you say 50, like 50, or 15?
I said 50.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Rosa, gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you, operator. Bye.